Confessions of a Bad Mother, The Teenage Years, written and read by Stephanie Kalman. Prologue. My daughter Lydia and I are in the formal wear department of BHS, buying her a dress. My husband Peter's sister has found the last available sane heterosexual man in London and is getting married again. It's going to be a small event, no bridesmaids or best man or anything, but we're all going to dress properly. Peter's wearing a suit and Lawrence has been given one by an older boy up the road. I've got a beautiful raspberry-coloured skirt from Rees, so that just leaves Lydia. And BHS is the place for affordable wedding gear. Lydia isn't actually mad keen on dresses, but this is a wedding. You dress up, right? I immediately spot one in a lovely plum colour. You could cut out the label and say it's monsoon. Isn't that lovely? Silence. Lydia, that's definitely one to try on. No. Just try it on. No. For God's sake, just choose that one. No! Coming from a very minimal family, I've been starved of weddings, though not of divorces, and I'm very much looking forward to this one. In fact, the shortage of family weddings was a reason I decided to have one myself, which raised the number in my life up till then to 2. And I'm damned if the issue of that happy union is going to fuck up number 3. But she is mutinous. If you don't choose that dress, I am going to go home without you. Not really an option, but these are desperate times. I'm going to go home without you! We go on like this for what is probably only a few minutes, but feels like hours, until she grudgingly settles on a mid-length mauve number. It's not quite as classy as the plum, but perfectly fine, with a little matching flower on the bodice and a bolero of embroidered net. Mission accomplished. But we walk to the tube station in silence. We have the dress, yet there's no sense of achievement, or even relief, just a dull numbness. I'm like the Soviet air defence officer in the 1980s who saved the world when the incoming missile signal lit up by not pressing the red button. I get no parade, no outward sign of anything having been achieved. I'm just not dead. This overreaction to choosing clothes for a wedding, which is meant to be a happy occasion for fuck's sake, has thrown me right off balance. When we get home, I make some tea, but I feel utterly demoralised. Is it possible that our child has reached that stage, which I know is coming, but is a good few years off? Not yet. Surely it can't be. She seems to be in the early stages of adolescence, and she is 7. Chapter 1. Ages 7 and 8. The sticking point. The summer holidays arrive and we go to the coast. The kids and I are walking alongside the low beach wall and from nowhere, like a squall, a row starts up. Lawrence has somehow got a stick and Lydia wants it. For God's sake, I say, just get another stick. But no, they must both have that stick. He gets up onto the wall and she follows. He holds the stick out of her reach. She goes after it. They end up fighting each other along the narrow concrete ledge like Errol Flynn and Basil Rathbone in The Adventures of Robin Hood, 1938, but with a lot more whining. Then they both fall off. You wouldn't believe a 7 and an 8-year-old could make that much noise. People driving past slow down to look, and a nearby builder briefly puts down his drill. After a whole morning trying to entertain them, I have totally had it. Stop bloody fighting! Why were you fighting? No wonder you fell off the bloody wall! What do you expect? We weren't fighting! Lydia gasps between sobs, while Lawrence just lies on the ground, screaming. I pick them up, look for injuries, can see none, fish around in the linty pockets of my non-attractive seaside coat, and find a chocolate-covered mint slightly bent. And because I'm a parent, not a laboratory rat, and therefore don't learn from experience, I bring out the one mint before making sure there's a second. There isn't a second. And so they continue crying all the way to the sweet shop where I buy them a tube of Smarties each because, whatever happens in life, sugar will always be there for them and take nothing in return but their health. As a parent, I assume they fight in order just to ruin my day. However, David Attenborough says that young animals such as lion cubs attack each other as practice for when they'll have to struggle for survival against predators. So it apparently has a purpose, apart from to drive me off my head.